July 30th, 2008, it's a Watt from Pedro show. From Pedro Show. Started out there with John Coltrane, Big Surprise, and Interplay off the box set. Interplay, a lot of stuff he did with Prestige before he set on his own as Side Mouse in a learning situation. Then we heard Don't You, which is a rough demo from Al May. Now, I was just sent this and told to play it on the show, but I'm supposed to come up with bass.
So there's no bass on it?
No bass on it. Didn't you hear it?
Yeah. I just walked in.
That's Mr. Tom Watson. We have some guests
welcome
on the show today. That's Mr. Tom Watson. Yeah. Guitar player for Missing Man. Raul Morales. Hey, drummer for Missing Man. Tiff.
Hello.
Karaoke singer. What did you do?
Go-Go's.
What were you singing? Well,
karaoke.
Yeah, but...
What was I singing?
The
Go-Go's? No, Cure? I can't sing like Morrissey.
Cure?
No. No, girl songs.
Human like,
Mariah?
I mean, no, if I... Okay, believe me, I wish I had the voice of Chris Cornell because you don't know how bad I want to sing
Christina?
Those. Soundgarden.
The guard. The gardener.
I want to have a voice like Chris Cornell.
And of course, we got Brother Matt here. And we are at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, somewhere west of the Rockies, north of the equator. One day after earthquake.
That was a shaker yesterday.
2008. 5.8.
Did you feel it, Brother Matt?
Yeah. Yeah, it was an old wooden barracks. Felt it good.
Okay. Did you feel it?
I was in the three-story house. It swayed for like 3 minutes.
In the Peck Center.
Yeah.
On 15th Street. It swayed.
It was like a beam in the water.
I was in the permanent collection at the bottom of MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, completely downtown. Cement, no windows.
Yeah.
But and I saw the cement walls swaying.
Ooh.
But it turns out afterwards the whole building is on rollers, so
it's
it was actually supposed to
Tokyo
do that.
Tokyo style.
It worked.
Yeah,
I
that's
survived.
What they do over there.
Yeah.
Tiff?
I did feel the earthquake, but I didn't know that it was an earthquake. I was sitting in the back of a flatbed truck, or on the back of a flatbed truck,
screaming.
And I thought somebody got in the truck and was like, I was at a job site, at like construction site, and
yeah.
I thought someone was, you know, goofing around in the truck.
Wow.
As they do.
You know.
Now, I was just finishing paddled later, so I was at sea. No tsunami took me. So wasn't that powerful. Where was it, north of Santa Ana or something?
Yeah.
Chico Hills.
Chico Hills?
5.8.
Where we're all going to get track homes. Right?
Yeah.
My mom was talking to me about that. Mike, what? You know there's Moricano there? I said, yeah. Yeah, no
the
shit.
Price just went down. I think they've got some vacancies.
Let's do some hell ride and some smog swim. Forget about kayak. Anyway, yeah, I just got home a couple days ago. I was in Finland and France. 3 gigs in 16 days. It was very tough.
Oh,
man. Hardcore. Slowing down. Take it easy, man. Easy, boy.
You gonna start phoning me?
No, someone just texted me.
But anyway, played 81 minutes in Seinäjoki, Finland. It was near the west coast, maybe an hour inland. I stayed in the town of Vaasa, right on the coast. In fact, it was a little island, maybe with the click of a causeway. This is about 0.65 mile click. In this like kind of family Wally World thing called Tropiclandia. A lot of little Kodomos.
Yeah.
Running all around.
Like Tomorrowland?
No, it's like...
Like Tropicland.
No, it's like a tail and then there's some... but there's water there and stuff. But yeah, there's some beach.
Is it a tourist?
Some volleyball. Yeah, family.
Yeah, like Camber Sands.
Yeah, maybe
like
something
Pontins.
Like that. That was more working class.
Yeah.
But this was in Bruges. They put on like this 3-hour play. You know, they all dressed up. Now, the Finnish language is a trip. I think the closest thing it is to is Hungarian and Estonian. So there's no cognates. You know, like with the Scandinavian, there's going to be some Germanic. Mm-hmm. And English has got some Germanic. With the Latin languages, Romance language.
Yes.
We're going to recognize them cognate because we use them in English too. But the Finnish, none, man. Like
no
roots.
None of the grammar.
Yeah, so these 30-letter thing with the half eyes. It's so trippy. It is so trippy.
they're beautiful people. They're Scandinavian, but they have, you know, differences. I guess Russia and Sweden traded them back and forth a long time.
Yeah, they had
and plus, you know, they call it Suomi. They don't call it Finland. But that's why you go and play gigs in these different lands.
What time did the sun go down over there?
Maybe 10. Because this isn't so north up. It's like maybe a west by northwest of Helsinki. And Helsinki's the most southern Finland. It's right on the coast, like I said. And this thing between Sweden and Finland is called the Gulf of Bothnia.
Bothnia.
Yeah, I asked him it was Bithurbia.
Yes. Did Thackeray live there? I think Thackeray. Thor was there. That's where Thor's from.
Thor. Actually, they say Tor. You don't say the H.
They don't have the H over there.
Yeah. But why'd you put it there? No, actually, they don't put it there. Somehow it got anglicized.
Right. Did you see any fjords while you're there?
Big time. I mean, that's the whole coast of all those Scandi places. The two gigs before were French gigs.
Where in France?
Yeah, went in Bordeaux region.
Nice.
About 20 miles north in a golf resort by a little town called Margaux. And I actually pedaled 20 miles to Bordeaux because the camera failed on me. The new camera also was going out of my mind.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah, more so. Did you try any of the wines?
You know, just for experiment, I went into the one little market, Proxy, in Margaux, and there was a 2 euro bottle and a 3 euro bottle, and I was thinking, you know, just because it says Bordeaux on the label, I wonder if you could be this Econo and still have a kick in your butt. And no. But what do I know about wine? I've had some good ones.
Do you know where Toulouse is in France?
Yeah.
I'm going there in September.
That's a little. That's more east of this.
Because I've never been to that.
Still Aquitaine, and that's the heart of the Cathar.
The Cathar.
Cathar is where people. That's the first crusade was launched against for them being dualist and Manichean.
Yeah, sure.
Heresy.
Yeah.
Burgundian crusades. Saint Dominic, I think.
Yeah.
Headed it, and they, these people would not surrender and martyrdom. There's a great monument to the Cathars that is the big stones with chain on it, artistically done, and you can see the sea. South of there is it's like a castle, like from.
How far south? I was just.
You know, like the dream version of a castle.
Yeah.
It's right on the shore of the Mediterranean and close to Spain, but it's not too far from where you are. God, why can't I think of it? Carcassonne? It's a very famous castle. That whole region there you like if you go explore around. This was more west. This is Bordeaux, but it's the wine country. And it's got the... Garnier, the big, I think only second to the Seine River, huge ass river, went alongside that, and Bordeaux itself pretty old and kind of rough. Not rough like a meanness, but like not all modernized and cement.
Like Spain a little bit, closer to Spain.
Yeah, all kind of, not a lot of money's been put there. They put some money on the riverfront, but the heart of it is still pretty old and a lot of tiny streets, and I went there without a map. That's why I hugged. And you know, I went through the Lake Bordeaux, and there was yaks, but none for rent. It was a bunch of little kids and adults. But man, if I could have been pedaling and paddling,
cool. Were you doing like the Tour de France, the route, the mountains?
No,
thing?
It didn't go through where we were, but it's near there. We drove through when we went from Raoul. Remember the last second man. The second street.
We were
second
tall,
road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went from Barcelona, actually La Roca, right outside
Barcelona,
up to La Havre to take the ferry to England. So we went through all. In fact, we went by Vichy. We went right through the center.
Day. That was a bit of day drive.
Well, that was 17 hours.
We drove from Paris to the Genoa ferry. That was through the south, but it was at nighttime. We didn't see much.
We went along with Cordesur.
Yeah.
But this was, we had to go through France to get to La Havre.
Yeah.
We did that too.
We didn't even play in
France. From Italy, we just drove through this transit. Let's play some more music.
If the power of my spirit is being tested, let me show also by something gentle. Spreading wide the warmth of the gratitude felt inside. Awake here and open heart. All things are in the self. Head for the light. Just the light, not the darkness. Can you draw the line between what you can do and what you can't do? Do you know when to stop? How much is too much? You are too close to the situation to know. No matter how hard you try, you will find something impossible. And then you will see why and find a way. And one by one, things will become possible. Things you need.
I'm sorry.
From Pedro Show. You just heard That's the Way by 5471. And before that was Mito Do Keri Toko Nido Ku.
That's the name.
It's terrible.
Probably have a computer say it. He has a computer say it. It's better than that.
Yuki Kawana. Sorry. What did I say? Maybe if there were spaces in between them. And then we had Next Saturn from Boris. And before that was Solitude by Life. And Yuka Honda with Parallel before that. We started off with Choose the Light by Migu. And I played fuzz bass on that. Very difficult. It was in 7/8. Yeah. And trippy voicings on the chords. And he had me play through a fuzz box that he handmade, Mr. Shimmy. I couldn't get the beat for the fucking life of me, so Chico pounded it out on my back.
As you're playing it?
Can I discuss this with you? It would be a good machine. Instead of click track, you get a physical sense.
Well, like a kick drum pad.
What
like
you discussed with me was the boot to the back of the head.
Well, they have those...
Karate sidekick.
What do they call it? They have the drum...
On the 16th note? No, there's a little more mist. I don't think ice cubes would float in it, maybe.
They have those drum thrones that have the big kick pedals.
Have you tried this yet?
Not yet, it's all the way over there.
Here.
The kick drum...
You gotta watch the noise.
Drum stool.
Drums. So like I say, crunching the fucking shit. Anyway, you know, on my 51st birthday, I'm going to play in Tokyo. Right? I'm going to bring Nels over to make an album. Shimmy's favorite guitarist is Nels. I got your favorite guitarist later in the show. Let me tell you, though, continue with this really brutal... And wearing on the body 3 gigs in 16 days. In between Angolam
Angoleme. L-E-M-E must be a Leme part. Angoleme. Angoleme. Angoleme.
Angoleme.
Yeah, whatever the fuck. But I don't think there's a line over the E. So it's not like Leme. Anyway, before we went to Finland, we did 4 days in Amsterdam, and I had asked Carlos about the X. I've been there a long time, and I wanted to play with the X, you know, record with them, and pop, but they went on tour. So he says, I know somebody you can record with, this lady named Lisbeth, who has a band called Solex, and she got 40 loops together for me to just play bass. It was a reissue 57 P bass, like Chris Kirkwood had, the tobacco with the gold anodized pickguard. They made them in the early 80s. C-neck.
Maple.
Which is kind of, yeah, right. Kind of thin this way, back to front.
Kind of wider,
but
too.
But kind of not as roundy. Yeah, right. What we say, a bigger radius.
Sharper edges.
Bigger radius.
Yeah.
Not as curvy. But it was good. It played good, and I got to sit down.
For 9 hours?
He did have a Rivoli with flat wounds.
Yeah.
But it was so uneven. Maybe live. Yeah, at the end, it was a long time, but the time flew, you know, because I had to be creative and whatever. Not saw myself so bad.
So Solex, is that from the carburetor? The Solex carburetor?
I didn't ask her, but Volkswagens had Solexes. I know that. Yours probably did.
I had them in Alfa Romeo, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they're probably German.
Or MG.
They had been okay. I don't know where the name came from, but turns out she has toured with Chibo Motto. She toured with Cornelius, so she knew both Mizuko and Mizuka, and the road boss Eric, because they invite me over for a chow. Now they had this thing called fondue, which I thought was
the bread with the raw meats and a pot of cheese.
It was all that, but it was no cheese. It was bouillon.
And this is in Holland, no cheese and
juice.
It was boiling. He cooked it up good. It was good. And the night before, right after the recording, and that's where I met the road boss and his wife. They old friends. So connected. Anyway, night before, after the recording, took me to Indonesia chow. In the rice tafel, with the little,
the little
bowls of things.
Saute.
Very slow cooked, kind of Thai, some peanut taste.
You just get so many choices to work from.
Yeah, it's happening.
Sambal.
Sambal. I said, bring it on. It's hot. Yeah,
it's pretty hot stuff. Yeah. That's maybe. Well, no, if you get the good ones.
Do it out.
I'm telling you, you get a hot one.
I got tolerance. So I forgot about the first gig. The first gig was actually a Rouen, and it was a festival for Tall Ships. Tall Ships are coming to Pedro, right on the
5th. Yeah.
No, it's the 5th, but we're going to be doing Warped Tour gigs.
I know the Tall Ships were going to Finland also, because someone I know in Finland told me about it.
That's a big-ass tour. Well, maybe there's different tours of Tall Ships, because I think these ones in Rouen, France, weren't the ones coming to Pedro. But they were very impressive.
That'd be a crazy cruise.
And who did I meet there? Peaches. I hadn't talked to her in a long time. She was DJing.
Last time I saw
her, a long time.
Where was that? That ATP at UCLA. That was like 8 years ago or something.
Right. Well, she played with the Stooges at the Zenith in Paris. And somebody else I saw. Oh yeah, Lisa, the singer for Bell Rays. They were playing too.
Yeah.
And.
In Holland?
No, in Rouen, where this tall ship, it was called the Festival Armada Festival for these tall ships, up the Seine. Wow. They come way up the Seine. Seine is a huge ass.
That's insane.
That's France, Mississippi.
I got it.
And you know.
And I'm rolling on the deck.
You can edit that out later.
And so that was a good gig. Man, it was a full moon, and it came up. No, that was an Anglom. Yeah.
Anglom. That's a silent.
I think it is Anglom. Yeah. I think so. There's no line on that last E. It's not LeMay.
just
the moon came up there, and that was kind of heavy too before the gig. Or that morning, I see Ronnie at the chow. There's free troughs on chow. Hey, Ronnie. And like maybe after he saw me, he got a nosebleed that would not quit. And turns out his blood pressure is like 200 points over 100 or something. Yeah. And so they had to put a plug, a cauterize, and put a plug up there and play the gig with a baseball hat. But he did the gig good. Now he's taking with the Lipitor and getting down and trying to get the blood. In a way, it was a good sign because he didn't know.
Pressure valve.
Yeah.
Those.
Pop, freeze plug.
Pop, water heaters have those, you know. Same thing.
Sounds scary. So all well wishes to Ronnie. It's really smart to fucking eat chips on the microphone.
Yeah. It's the perfect food. Like
it
perfect.
Sounds great.
You see that level go.
My sister cut my mustache, so it ain't hanging over the lip. I'm learning that one where it's not over the lip. Not as much chow food.
The walrus thing.
The draper, the brusher, feather duster.
Well, you can get all the like the plankton and you know small
the
sea baleen. Animals that way. Yeah,
the baleen thing.
Yeah. The sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys.
Yeah.
All right, we're at the end of the first hour, July 30, 2008. Wild from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. July 30th, 2008 is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Watt from Pedro show. Starting off the second hour, Drum Eyes by DJ Scotch Egg. And then we heard Edgelessly by Zipex. And finally, Regeneration by Mr. Devin Hoff, who was a guest a couple shows ago. String bassist with his solo album. We've been playing a lot of songs off that. And he's a great cat. He's also the bass player for Nels Klein Singers and has his own band, Good for Cows. Drum Eyes, DJ Scotch Egg. I met him in Brighton. He's very, very cool people. He makes a lot of music on Game Boy.
Oh.
That's his, one of his main instruments.
Is he sampling his
Game Boy? And you know, he plays it. The sounds in it, and then he works the buttons, and he's rewired it, and whatever. He's quite an innovative cat. I have a lot of respect for him. That was Jesse Evans with Scientist of Love, and here's Tobacco with Eating Us. The Spin Cycle, of course, and a special guest is Tom Watson on the guitar. Is going to collaborate in a well, you can call it what you want.
Call it
you can call it freestyle.
You can call it, yeah,
because it's happening on the dial.
It's free and it's free.
It's arriving.
I busted a rhyme. Okay, so. Without any more, get your machine, Tom.
Okay.
Here we go.
Tom Watson. Brother Matt.
Yeah. Ow. Thank you.
Collaborate. Yes. On the spin cycle.
Tom Watson. Wales.
We've at least...
Tom Watson.
Together. We've done
Mr.
this twice.
Mr. Watson. Mr. Tom. When did said, you start on guitar?
Tonight, you mean?
We got
no.
Our mic up?
Earlier?
Yeah. No, when you were a young child? A young spiff.
When I was a child?
A mere child.
I was a mere child at the time.
How old?
Five.
Five. And where did you... Was it somebody else's guitar? Were you given a guitar?
I obtained a guitar. It was a... Yeah. My father had a guitar. You know, one of those stories where your father has a guitar and... You maybe heard this many, many times before. Yeah, how do you do
so
that?
So your pop played.
Sort of.
But he's a drawer, right? He's an
artist. He draws. He likes to draw. Yeah, no, yeah, he's an illustrator. But he played, I don't know, he had a guitar in the house. And I
acoustic or electric?
Acoustic nylon string.
Right.
This was 1965.
Right.
Not the guitar at the time. It was in New York City. And the Beatles had a couple records out. Their first record was out. Anyway, maybe it came out in 1963, maybe. And I heard this guitar sound, you know, I don't know, all the songs on that first record, you know, this kind of ragged, distorted guitar sound that... I want to do that. I remember hearing that. I was like, I don't know, how do you do that? What is that?
At 5 years old.
And then I just kept playing. So I kind of make that sound now.
So you never took lessons?
I did take lessons.
At starting at five?
No.
Later down the road?
No, no, no. When we moved to Los Angeles,
yeah.
I had some lessons from at Milo Ackerman's house. I think his mother was teaching it.
Milo was Singer Descendants.
And it was in summer school, you know. I don't know. It was like maybe I was in fifth grade or something.
His mother?
I'm not positive she was teaching, but I remember her being there. Maybe she was teaching. You know, I learned chords. But then I actually went to a guitar store in Manhattan Beach called Gene Lee's Guitar Store.
That,
and he was like a full-on jazz guy. Not jazz player, but kind of a, well, yeah, kind of a loungy jazz guitar player. Big into Django Reinhardt. Not that that's loungy jazz. I'm saying he was into the gypsy jazz. So I hung out there all the time, you know. I wanted to keep playing.
What about a band? What was your first band?
The first band that I organized was called the Blue Spiders. I played drums, actually, and it was...
How did you veer off guitar to drums?
I think I was the only one with a drum set at the time, but it was a toy kit. I was probably about 10 or 11, maybe younger, actually, 9.
That's early for a first
8 band. Or 9. They were not real drums. They were kind of paper and...
Paper heads.
With springs.
So you had a band.
Well, yeah, we started the band.
Were you writing songs?
Yeah, we had our own songs. We did covers, too, but, you know, I think we played Doors. Or, I don't know what else. Whatever's happening. And then the next band was called the Green Ants. So it went from the Blue Spiders to the Green Ants.
Colored ants?
Well, the drums were blue, and then, you know, spiders were kind of cool. And ants, I changed it to the Green Ants because I thought that was cooler than the Blue Spiders.
Yeah. Do you know where your fellow ants and spiders are these days?
They're not really. They're not sticking with it. I think they kind of let it
tossed it.
They let it drop. They didn't hold it together. I had to move on. Playing in different bands in high school and you know, Toxic Shock, Slava.
Yeah, Toxic Shock because the punk thing comes on.
Well, it was like people wanted to start bands and I was. I guess I was someone in school that everyone knew already played the guitar, you know, and I was more into like prog. I was more into like prog and glam rock, I think. I was into Roxy Music, King Crimson, whatever my older brother was into, kind of.
What guitars did you like?
Phil Manzanera was Robert Fripp, that period of guitar. I really liked Bowie too.
Television
came up much later, you know, even though I completely connected to it, you know, the minute I heard it, you know, Captain Beefheart, Wire, Television, all that, all at the same time, kind of.
And Toxic Shock people, a couple of them, and then the Core of Slovenly.
Yep. Scott and Steve asked me to play bass, and I said okay. And then we eventually we had a drummer named Bruce Lawson.
Is that the first time you played bass?
It may have been. My older brother played the bass, so I played on his bass sometimes. I kind of was familiar with it. I didn't play it like a bass player. I played like a guitar player would play it. So I like playing in bands. So
I saw Toxic Shock. In fact, the Minutemen played with Toxic Shock at the Star Theater in San Pedro.
That was our first show with Sacrament Trust.
Wow. Yeah.
We had to stand outside while the bands played, and then we'd go in and play, and then we'd have to go back out again. Yeah, but we've had booze outside, too. Not that I need to tell anyone about that or anything.
Yeah, so that's where we saw you guys. Yeah. I think I heard you first on a recording on a Happy Squid thing.
Keats Rides a Harley.
Keats Rides a Harley.
With the urinals, yeah.
John Jones.
Well, 100 Flowers at the time. Right. I guess it was Earwigs and Tunnel Tones and S Squad.
Jeffrey Lear, Pitney
Pierce. Yeah, Gun Club, Meat Puppets did Eleanor on that, good tune. 100 Flowers, great music.
They just changed your name.
Yeah. And they just changed it back, actually, I heard.
I know,
yeah.
They have.
Finally.
But Kellis.
Yeah, Kellis. Although Kellis still makes music here and there.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I play with him. Well, it's been quite a while, but I've done a few recordings with Kel. And,
okay, so and you do a lot of years of slovenly.
10 years, 82 to 92.
Records out on New Alliance.
Yeah, the first three were New Alliance, and then the last four SST. There's also an EP on a label called Ajax.
Because for a while the band lives in San Francisco.
From 84 to 88 was when I lived there, and Steve's still up there. Tim's up in the Bay Area, and
worked at a coffee shop.
Me. We did have coffee there. It was more of a bakery, but yeah, I did pour the coffees too. It was fine because I had to get up early. You know, I wanted coffee anyway. You know,
you toured with Firehose.
Toured with Firehose. Yeah, they're really, really great guys. Most of them in that band, great guys. They helped us out a lot for the most part. Nice people.
You rolled in the Beauville.
Good vibe. We had a Beauville 30. Some people didn't like the Beauville. Other people, well, you know, nine people in a Beauville.
In between, I forgot about something. You went to Holland to learn synthesizer music.
I certainly did. That was after high school.
Volacar?
Yeah, Globacar, yeah. How do you know that? Trombone?
You told me this shit.
Wow, you remember that? Damn, that's a tricky name to remember. I'm impressed. Yeah, no, it was study of electroacoustic music, mostly tape music and whatever. It was right out of high school. It was odd. We learned how to tape microphones.
And this leads to me asking about Red Crayola. How did you get involved with Mayo Thompson?
I really was a fan through most of the 80s, you know, hearing the music. I think I heard the second record first, God Bless the Red Crayola, and kind of like made me, and it was really like something I felt, you know, it was something that like was missing in music that I hadn't heard before, and kind of filled a certain gap, made sense to me, and I never thought I would actually meet Mayo Thompson or any of the other members, but one thing led to another. I was just hanging art in a gallery and saw a book that had his name on it, along with another person, Albert Erlin, an artist, and I don't know, it's kind of a long story, but they ended up at my place, and I asked Mayo if he'd produce the record, and Albert if he'd let me use art for the cover, and they said yes, and that happened, and then that was for an Overpass record. And
that's
then,
right, you had a band after Slovenly called Overpass.
That's right, three members.
And you also made a solo record, Country and Wild.
Certainly did, that's right.
And you
that's
also played in... Pair of Pliers, John and Terry show.
Three versions of Mike Watt,
right.
And
third
the bands.
Missing Man.
When I've been three bands with you.
Yeah, good cat to tour with Tom.
Yeah, I want to keep doing it.
Want to keep touring.
Keep doing it.
Of course. Well, we got some gigs coming up.
Yeah.
In
August.
2 weeks. three Warp Tour gigs: Chula Vista, Mountain View, and Carson.
And we do need shoes, right? I mean, you've got some holes in that.
Oh, Vans.
Yeah. Don't make me shoes.
I don't rock them. No. But I'm into the tour, and because we haven't played since April.
Yeah, it's been a long.
It's a shame.
When are we gonna? Well, yeah.
I think Chula Vista.
My touring stops with Stooges in October 1st, so then we get on. Plan is a tour in the spring and make an album in New York City halfway through with Tony Mamone's Studio G in Brooklyn.
Perubu.
It has an apartment upstairs. We can conk there.
Yeah.
And that's the plan. Mm. Well, we're at the end of the second hour. Tom, thanks so much for jamming.
Thank you. Thank
all
you.
The way down from Silver
thank
Lake.
You. Koreatown, but and Silver Lake,
and yeah,
by way of
he works both corners in
work
both
them all.
Parts of town.
Yeah. Two jobs. That's a
no
different
problem.
Scene.
Thanks.
No problem.
End of the second hour of July 30th, 2008. Watt Beatles Show. Hold that for hour three. July 30th, 2008. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
So as soon as we get our blinds set up. Let's sit down and
I'm going to go to the hospital.
in this lesson in Duck Calling. I hope I can tell you what you're doing wrong, and even more important, what to do that is right. Now let's listen to these little as you blow.
Watt from Pedro show. We just heard, well, starting off the third hour was Salido Movement Number 2, a live improvisation by an endless contortionist. Do you know Matoka Honda? She was on the show doing a jam with Brother Matt with the synth.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was wild. And then Stefano Palia with Winda. You remember Stefano?
He was did six gigs. Tour guide.
Right. He was with us in Italy. And he does a lot of improv music. And that was him on solo guitar. Stefano, a great cat.
Great guy.
From Genoa, but living in Bologna. And a lot of interesting music he's doing. And he's also doing things where they combine with dance and art and stuff. He was doing some music to dance in Roma. So much respect, Stefano. And then we heard Cat Brainland by Melt Banana off of Bambi's Dilemma. Now, the guitar player, Agata.
Yeah, Ichiro.
Tom Watson.
Yeah. Good player.
You like him, right?
Crazy man. I love the way he plays.
We played a gig with him at the Troubadour. And we were standing, me, Tom, and Agata standing together. Kind of close. And
not uncomfortable, though.
Very comfortable.
Very, very comfortable.
And I say to God, I say, Tom says, you're his favorite guitarist. And Tom says, you are not supposed to say that. You remember that? Is it a shameful moment? I didn't mean to do that.
No, but because it's a compliment that, well...
Kind of neat
though
to be your favorite guy.
Yeah, well, no. Tom, in fact, turned me on to Melt Banana many years ago. He gave me a record called Charlie. Mm. Had a bunch of songs on it because they've been around more than 13 or 14 years. And so Tom knew about them a long time ago. And yeah, getting to play with them was happening.
Yeah, they're fun.
Very happening. Sacramento, too.
Blast. Played with him in Florida that time.
That's right, in Florida, and did Bob Dylan wrote
together?
And
the wild.
Bob Dylan!
That was wild. That was in Orlando, I think.
Yeah, that was Supper Club, Sapphire Supper Club.
I think you and Vince had to make Hell Ride Home, and I went with
Jay. Yeah, we drove back to LA that night. Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know,
and I went with Jay.
From Orlando. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Enough of the piss bag tour because I had just gotten off the sickness and
got the catheter,
fucking piss sack. In a way, it was neat, like just to see it fill up and you didn't have to take a piss. You just watch this thing fill it up. But in another way, it was real bunk because you had to carry that thing around.
You didn't. It wasn't your choice necessarily, but
no, I had a tube in my bladder.
But it's also kind of a piss bottle thing without the hassle.
Yeah, totally. I kind of dug it just to watch it fill up, like because the tube was right in the abdomen wall.
Wasn't even dealing with that.
Yeah, there was no fitting or anything. What it had was a big ass ball on the inside. They put it in through the surgery.
Yeah.
So when he
popped it out.
Yeah, when he took it out, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. He's talking to me. His name was Dr.
Ko. Cool, you are.
He's a Dr. Korean
Frankenstein.
No, it was K-O-A. Cole.
It's like Cole. Started a mini bike.
Like the wood.
So what he does, he starts making some jokes to get me laugh.
Oh,
when I really start laughing, that's when he yanked it out.
Oh, my God.
And then the face just
and
drops.
And what he did was he put it behind his back really quick.
You can see it.
But I saw it. It was like
a plug.
The cue ball?
Yeah.
It was a big... It was kind of like through this little slit, like a baby, God. You know, mama.
It's kind of like a mace, you know, with the spikes on it.
I got you. No, it had like, you know,
like
barbs on
it. Yeah, hook. Yeah, treble hooks.
You know, I tell you
what. it's your basic hook.
That was just
commander.
A big-ass ball on the end of it. That was nothing compared to the foily in the dick.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah, that's lovely.
The ball came through there too, and then one thing lame about having the tubes in you is it brings in bacteria, so I got bladder infection.
Yeah,
and that was like pissing fish hooks. That was like pissing fish hooks. When I had piss, I had to warn my neighbors Tony and Dirk. You know, because what was the blood curdling screams about?
It.
I mean, you couldn't help but your feet and hands doing extreme as they could, and the eyes bulging out,
yeah.
And just, you know,
Yeah.
Trying to take a leak.
And they give you this stuff, pyridium, you know, it turn your piss real orange, supposed to, like, calm down the acid. But
cranberry juice.
No. Girls have shorter urethras, so that's why they get infected easier, but it's not as severe, man. The guy ones are really intense. But I know, I used to laugh at my sisters. It was a total karma thing on me, because I would laugh at them, and then it happened to me, and it was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe this shit. But you have to, because pus builds up there, and you're going to be wearing a piss bag forever.
Although the piss bags, they could double as a hot water bottle it's just a pillow warmer, bed warmer.
Partner, a pillow for
whatever,
your partner.
Yeah, little doll, a little cuddly pillow.
Sharing.
Something to nuzzle up with.
It was just amazing to see it fill up and not try.
Yeah. You don't even know what's happening. Like, what's that sound? Who's doing that?
Look at that.
Wait a minute.
What a good boy am I. You know? Then you'd have to dump it, though. It was funky.
Into a bottle. Use the same bag over and over.
Part of my life. Yeah, it was the same sack.
Do you still have it?
No. I have the gown. I kept the gown. In fact, I wore the gown. When I got better and stuff, I wore the gown. The first gig I played, I wore the gown.
Like, is it open bag? Open bag?
Open bag.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Kind of. You have the thong? You wear the thong?
Green. Kind of green color.
Greenish. Matched the tasseled
said
county undergarment.
Said LA stands. County. I still have that. I went to Richard. First thing I did was go to a poetry read by Richard Hell. Hey, Richard.
You with the gown on?
Yeah.
And then you turned around.
The next thing was a book read by Richard Meltzer.
Hey, Richard.
Take a picture of him. Richard Bonney took me. I couldn't drive.
You only went with hung out with Richard that night.
I had to sit on
night.
A big foam donut. In fact, I had to do for a few years after. Because it cut me open, you know, really big. And so Richard Meltzer, I took a picture next to him. And he was reading at, what's it called? City Lights?
Yeah. San Francisco?
Oh, no.
Or Seattle.
What's this one in L.A. called?
It's
a great bookstore. No, not City Lights. Big,
Book Soup?
Oh, no. Not West Side. But anyway, he was reading there, and I went in the Scrubs to that, and then I played with Perkins and Nels.
With the Scrubs?
In Santa Monica Pier.
The same night?
No, these are about 2 weeks apart. All three events were on different nights, but these are my first times out.
And you just like that.
Because it was just something to say, fuck you, sickness, you didn't kill me. And it said county, and they saved my life. You know, it was symbolic, man.
Yes.
It was symbolic.
Symbolics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tom, tips okay.
Let's get close. I think we can probably fit in this chair.
This guitar you used with Brother Matt, where's that from?
It's a fancy little axe that came my way. Very generous, anonymous donor. His name will
remain anonymous.
Hence the name.
No, it's a new guitar in the collection, and it's been very good to me. Changes everything. It's not a
Telecaster. You had a Telecaster in Slavely.
Yeah, I've mostly been a Telecaster player.
Yeah, and then you've been playing a kind of a beater, together, Frankie.
Yeah, and I've really grown to like the really cheap ones.
Right.
Because I can beat on them pretty hard, and I don't think about it.
Depend on it.
The Jazzmaster, different.
Very different.
Even though it's a Fender.
Yeah, no, but I've been working on it a lot, and I'm starting to figure it out. Be able to play it. I don't beat on it the same way. Different places to beat on it.
Yeah.
The same.
You can get behind the bridge.
There's some extra string behind the bridge to make some noise. That a lot
of
people
have done.
Think
you got an extra fret?
It's possible. I think so.
Let's do the count.
Yeah, they are the jumbo frets too, so it's a bit chunkier feeling.
Well, that's because it's
the J Mask is
because the regular ones didn't have jumbos.
They certainly didn't.
No. It's also got a Gibson bridge.
Yeah, it does. And although I added a touch of my own, I changed one of the knobs.
Right.
To make it a black knob.
Negra. Now, the 68 Tele you had a Bigsby.
Yes, it did.
But since then, You haven't had a whammy.
No.
Now you got a whammy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do have a Strat, but I have the springs all cranked flat, so there's no whammy on it.
Slovenly, I remember you'd play a Strat sometimes.
Sometimes.
These effects.
Mm. Octafuzz, kind of, it's a replica of my one pedal that kind of is most important to me, the Octavia by Tycho Brahe.
Yeah.
Saw it on eBay recently for $2,250.
Ooh,
I think I bought it new for like $40.
Deal.
In the 70s. But anyway, just crazy pedal and sounds great. But this full-tone Octafuzz is pretty close. And it's not as fragile or valuable. And I can use it. And then a rat pedal and a crybaby.
Yeah.
And pretty much those three worked.
Agata-san, well. He had a lot.
Yeah, quite a few things, yeah. Thanks, like more than two or three digital delays, I know that. So, I mean, there are several looping little mechanisms going on. And also the whammy pedal and all that.
Yeah, what do you like about his playing?
It's free, but it's super tight. I mean, it's kind of like, it's almost like how cartoons can do something that humans can't, you know, like the eyes bugging out, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like that in music, you know, it's actually creating these sorts of surreal sounds that, so it pushes this kind of conventional idea of rock, you know, milieu or whatever, to this sort of surreal place, you know. It's just kind of pushing things out there.
Speaking of pushing things, have you been making new Tom Watson music?
I've been pushing it. Yeah, I have about three albums worth of material right now.
Really?
Actually, there are two albums, and then outtakes, another like triple outtakes record.
What, the Drag City or something?
No, they're not actually going to be released as of yet. They one day hopefully will, but I want to wrap up something this summer and put it out.
Yeah.
I want to play shows though first, kind of sort things out.
Get you had a band for a while called The Best
of All.
Of All.
Yeah. It's a four piece. But we started playing the music for my solo record.
Oh, really?
Country and Watson, and then we started writing our own music. And
did they ever record?
We have one record's worth of music recorded. We did with Brian McMahon from Four Carnation and Slint. It was a weird period of time that somehow I didn't resolve it, and it still exists, and we'll see what happens. You know, I keep meaning to find someone who'd be interested in finishing it for me, because I don't know if I can do it.
Oh.
For some reason, I kind of feel like handing it over to someone and say,
right.
You resolve this, my ears are tainted, you know. As you all probably know.
And what about this new stuff? What's it like?
New stuff has been like, I've been doing these drones that have been, I have like an album's worth of music that I did maybe 5 years ago that are all drones, meaning like they're these pieces of music that have either repetition or a minimal kind of monotone concept to it.
Yeah.
And then, but also a lot of little guitar phrases. So it's something that I'd considered re-recording the entire project and with other players and somehow I kind of like the original recording, but I don't have the outlet for it yet. And so that's one project that's sitting there. And another thing I've been working on this summer is just writing new music and more in the pop vein, you know, pop music or rock music, whatever.
Pop domes.
Yeah, and I've got iPods worth of music really right now, so I kind of, but I don't know what that is. A lot of songs still to resolve all by myself, so it's kind of it's a little bit the scope is pretty tiny. You know, and I'd like to play stuff with other people and find the right people to play with, maybe, and resolve certain things.
Yeah. In the meantime, you got stuff coming up with Mayo?
Yeah. A couple of shows in September. Just he and I, as the Red Crayola.
But you've been doing something locally. What's that?
I'm playing with a girl named Tiff Siegfrieds, doing two guitars. and we're playing tomorrow night, which probably will be tonight if you hear this.
Yeah, this is coming out.
We're doing all Neil Young songs.
It's just Tom and Tiff?
Yeah, it's just all Neil Young songs. The idea was that we were going to play every Neil Young song. Each show will play a different batch of songs, and then when we're done playing them, that's when the band's done. But I think we're not going to get to that point.
I think it's a buttload
of songs. Like 700 songs or something. And he's still writing songs, so yeah, I don't know. That's good. That was kind of a good idea. But I'm playing tonight, and it's fun. I'm a big fan, so I kind of enjoy playing music that I'm a fan of. Doing our own version.
Was telling me Wilco's going to open up some Neil Young concerts in
that would be
December.
Fun.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good combo. I saw Sonic Youth opening for him, and like 20 years ago or something. It's quite
That's
a
right.
Of course, two of my favorite bands, but. A lot of his audience were not really aware, not down, yeah.
Bunch of pricks.
I was trying to convince people.
I know, it's weird about that.
It
happens in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk to Raul?
Please do.
Hey there.
Raul?
Howdy.
What drums are you playing on?
Well, from the same anonymous guy, he got this nice, Ludwig Birch kit. It's a nice, like, silver glitter sparkle kit. It's
kind when of did a, you start on drums?
Poof, I feel like 98.
So 10 years ago?
So it's not as cool as 79. Those are like 5 years old.
5 years
but
old.
But yeah, there's nothing like that.
I was talking to Steve Droz, Flaming Lips. He said at 5 he was starting to play drums in his pop's band.
Oh, man, I wish.
You know what?
Babaloo.
Dude, I can't even remember.
I don't know what I was doing at fucking 5. I know it wasn't the drums.
I can't even remember what I was doing. I have no idea. I think it was just before kindergarten, right?
That's about kindergarten.
Fucking... I don't know,
stories like that sounds like just this amazing kind of musician guy.
So you started at 20.
Yeah, about maybe a little bit younger, just kind of because nobody else in Pedro seemed to play the drums except the death metal guys.
So you and
that was the
you
worst.
Get in situations to play.
Yeah, well, I was playing the bass in these punk bands in high school, and the drummer always stunk it up every time. Like, not that I'm any good, but it was the kind of thing that was like, God damn. Always turning the head looking, come on. So I started playing the drums just because I was talking a lot of crap. Like, I could do this too.
What was your first
band?
So
just kind of picked it up.
It was Pedro here, right?
Yeah, always has been. I play with some Anaheim guys now. But always Pedro guys. I'm lucky like that. Always people that I've either admired like you or I get the friends. I've always played with friends the whole time. Some people just kind of get stuck playing with dudes they don't even know, and it sucks. I can't even imagine that. Like, I don't know. Music to me seems a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. It's maybe not so mercenary?
No, not at all. Just, yeah.
So you were early with the 4th Street scene.
Yeah, we just lived there, basically. So I think it was pretty early. We rented it.
Yeah.
And there was no other clubs in Pedro. Yeah,
right.
So we started doing, we're like, oh... Let's see if we can get away with. So, we started doing, like, kind of early hour practices. Like, well, I think we could probably do this, like, when the sun goes down. And maybe the neighbors won't know. It's not our band playing. Like, it could be some band from, like, New Mexico. It just kind of kept going. And then before we got evicted.
Like, that kind of
exactly. But, we were doing a few shows a week at the house, in the living room, but there wasn't even a living room, it was just a big empty room.
The space between the bedrooms.
Between the front yard and the backyard? Yeah. That was the show space. We had the little, hovels, hovels to sleep in, or whatever. Padlock on the door.
Right. Names on the peanut butter
It
jar
didn't even
labels.
Get that far.
Well,
There's no food going around.
Okay. But a lot of bands came out of that scene, and bands would tour and come from other towns to play.
Oh, yeah, we met a lot of people. Kind of like, you had Todd here, I think, one of your last shows.
Yeah.
I was playing with him and Sean early on when I started, and they took me out across the country and introduced me to a lot of people. And then they would start... Todd had lived there first. He ran ran the label out of there, Recess Records. And so kind of bands would, you know, call him up. We'd book the gigs there. And then he moved out, but the numbers stayed the same. So the phone calls would keep coming. Yeah. Like, well, it's summertime. Let's have some fun. And it was always a good way for us to play, too.
Right. Now, when did you get into the Leeches?
Whew. That was around the time Todd had the record store. We all worked at the Recess record store.
Yeah.
Down there, I think it was 6th and Mesa.
Yeah.
And that shit, we just played last night. I think we've been going for like 11 years already. Which is weird, too. I'm just too old for that shit. I get changed into some bags last night. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, it was 11 years ago, and you started playing drums 10 years ago. You were playing drums in that band.
Yeah, it was right around the same time. It's foggy. It's pretty foggy, but I think that might have been like the first band I played drums in, which is just kind of like a rudimentary drum kit, just the floor tom and the snare and one cymbal. And before, actually at that time, there was no cymbal, so it was just the floor tom and the snare, sometimes just the snare, or just the just that crack, and that's it.
Backbeat.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
You bailing?
All right. Tom had to bail. So we didn't get to hear him say bye.
Bye-bye.
He kind of whispered it.
Yeah.
He kind of whispered. So, you mean, you started
10 years
the drums and just started with the Leeches at the same time.
Yeah.
What was the thing with the plastic bags over the heads and shit?
I couldn't tell you. I don't even remember. I think we just came
over
up
the head
with
the whole
no,
body.
The whole deal, and it was I stand up playing the drums kit. Kind of, it's not a cocktail kit, but the legs of the floor tom will go about 2 feet up, so I'll raise the snare stand, and just the backbeat. Yeah, but the bags, I don't even know.
Yeah, I was always wondering about the bags.
I think we might have even got maybe fun alcohol. Uh-huh. I started wearing those things.
There's a bass and there's an organ.
Yeah, it's bass, the farfisa, and then drums. No vocals.
Right.
And Brewer just asked us to do this thing with him where he reads the poetry over us doing like...
Yeah, yeah, I heard that.
I don't know. We'll see. No. I'm totally into it. I just want to see if we can do it.
Well, you probably do Leeches, and then he'll just holler over.
I know, we need to think of something a little bit more interesting than that. It's kind of these, like, surf-style songs. Yeah. It's not going to really work.
We could, like, you know, improvise on the Bible. He wants to come on the show again.
Cool.
Yeah, Jack, very happy. We must. Well, he's living in Long Beach, which for a while.
He is cool.
Jack the poet?
Yes. Jack Burr, yeah, singer
sorry,
for Saccharine Trust.
I said Biza, sorry.
He's in old SST days. Him and Joe Biza go way back. In fact, they're one of the few bands from the old days still going. The Meat Puppets got back together. Yeah, it was trippy. I did an interview. A guy's writing a book on Husker Du, and I was thinking about the old days a lot today. He's asking about Zen Arcade and
Double
Nickels on the Dime because they were
same time, huh? Kind
of. Want to know about this?
Did they do? Scene. Did they do theirs here in California?
Yeah, they did it. Yeah, with Spot. That's where we found out. We had an album done about a month before. We hadn't even named it or anything. And then they come to town and they make this double album. And we were like, "Fuck, we should make one too."
We gotta one up those guys.
Or just be in the same ring with them. So we went and wrote all these songs, and a month later, 2 months later, we recorded the second record. But they had theirs all figured out. It was like a concept, kind of.
Yeah, they bleed into each other in the songs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, there was a concept. It was like about a kid in a video arcade or something.
Was that arcade?
Where ours, they were in two different places, so. And we didn't keep them separate records. We just put all the songs in one batch. We didn't know how to put 45 songs in order. So I came up with this idea, well, we'd draw straws,
and C's first, second, and third.
For the
and
then tunes just and keep doing
pick song each. And I figured all the good ones would be on the outside, all the shitty ones would hug the label. And then the ones that nobody picked would end up on the fourth side. So we didn't keep the two recording sessions separate.
Kind of just they were about put them all together.
4 or 5 months together. Yeah, they were all there. Like, Georgie picked all his songs. The first song, part of the joke, we were trying to come up with a concept after the fact. So one was Sammy Hagar, you know, can't drive 55, so we will. And that's where the title comes from. And then the other concept was Umma Gumma had a double album, Pink Floyd album. So
and they all got their side.
And everyone got they got a quarter of a side, and they got their little solo. So we each had a solo song. D. Boone played acoustic guitar for his. I read a landlady note about the tub leaking. Because D. Boone said my words were too spacey, so.
About the shower leaking.
Yeah.
Leaking into her apartment.
Right. It was Dirk's bad. It was pinned on his door. So I read that. And Joe Biza and John McNowski played electric guitar. There's no bass on it. And then Georgie whistled and beat on oil cans.
That's pretty
Georgie's
awesome.
Georgie's first pick was that song?
Drop the needle.
You look at them and they're all the ones he wrote words for, almost.
So he got his wish.
Wrote for whatever. I just went by how I liked
the good
lick,
tune.
You know? Goddamn. D. Boone had first pick. He got Anxious Mofo. I had second pick. I got Michael Jackson. No, Georgie had first pick. D. Boone had second, and I had third. Georgie could have had any of the 45 songs, and he picks his fucking Whistling and Oil Can song. It's called You Need the Glory.
Yeah,
very few.
Fitting.
One of the only songs he wrote a title. When Georgie wrote words, he never wrote title. So you name it.
Done.
Yeah, I bet if I get these words, you know. Learn, start, from. He would write them, you know, he worked on his lathe really early in the morning. He'd write them when he was like half conscious. They were pretty surreal. I liked them. But he'd never give them titles. But he gave that one. Well, that one didn't have lyrics.
So I got the title.
Whistling. So he
it's one or the
titled
other.
It. And You Need the Glory, he picked first. And D. Boone got Anxious Mofo, which was actually Georgie Words.
Really?
I wrote the music, yeah. Yeah, the Double Nickels was kind of hard because we had to come up with all these songs to make the second record really quick, so I had all kinds of musics, but I didn't have the words, so if you notice, like, Jack Brewer's got a song on there, his cousin Joe has a song.
Like, kind of, come on, guys.
Carducci has a song, Dukowski's got two songs. Yeah, what was her name? Makono. Yeah, Dirk's landlady.
Oh, I think her name do is not shower. Well, I don't even know how it
she's
goes.
She's got
do
a
not
song.
Shower.
I had to pay for this and that.
Blah, blah, leaks. Do not this leaks.
Because people go to me, you know, post.
That's actually pretty genius,
kind of
dude. That's
spacey,
hilarious.
Man. People can't tell what you're talking about.
Well, let's talk about my leaking ass shower.
So, yeah, that's why I figured, like, whoa. These are pretty real.
Oh, yeah, very real. I like that look.
Yeah. And then I was starting to play with my fingers. It's the first album I really play with my fingers. I think there's only one song with Pitt.
Which one?
And so it was hard. Shit from an Old Notebook, which actually was Shit from an Old Notebook. So a lot of the songs that I did of D. Boone's.
Yeah, you told
me. D. Boone would, like, save up his songs with rhymes.
You told
you know?
Me that you used
so
to find his stuff.
So what he would do is he would scribble little notes to himself to think of thoughts. And they were never intended to be songs, really. Because his songs, the ones with rhyming and stuff, he always shit-hearted. They're his, you know, but he wouldn't give them to me. So I'd get these things that were like thoughts.
Well, you told me you'd find them in the dash of the van.
Sometimes, or they'd be written there, yeah. Or... Yeah, he'd never hand me a paper and say, here are my thoughts.
You search
I'd
it
find
out.
Them, I'd find them. I'm all over. People would always be thinking and shit, and he wrote down a lot when he thought. But, so if you notice, a lot of those songs I write of D. Boone's, there's no rhyming words.
Just kind of...
Well, no, they call it blank verse. It's all right.
It's awesome.
But none of that, there's no rhymes in that Whitman. You know.
We never intended them to be songs, though. There's no choruses.
It's kind of like a flow.
And sometimes I would repeat some of the words, but he never wrote them as verse, chorus, and stuff. But we had to come up with words for these tunes. We didn't want a bunch of instrumentals. So, and Georgie would literally give me songs. But they were like, they hardly rhymed. And
they were a whole different like, reason.
They were kind of like the moon ones. There's one album, the one before it. No, I think Buzzer House before it. But that's like an EP, I guess. But the full album before it is called What Makes a Man Start Fires. And I wrote all the music to that one. I mean, I didn't write the guitar solos.
But
I wrote all the licks and organized all the music. Many of the words are only a third mine, or a little more than a third, because I would just start writing about the same thing and stuff. I need it, and also because of a lot of times the words always start with the title of my own music. So if they gave me words, it would take me in a direction, so I wouldn't be writing the same licks over and over. So it was really important for them, Georgie and D-Boone, to give me words. Like that situation there, which was a strange one. There was no Minutemen record like that where I wrote all the music. D-Boone didn't live in Pedro during that time. It was hard. He was in a flux state. He got back to Pedro, but for that little period. So, and I was at home a lot because I had the knee surgeries and I couldn't work. I was in casts.
So you were working on music then?
So I was writing all this music and I ended up with the What Makes a Man Start Fires.
With Keith Morris. The Keith Morris cartoon.
He does look like Keith Morris. I asked Raymond about this. He said, no.
Of course.
Somebody showed it to me on his arm. In fact, a few people have tattoos of that. There's a lot of Pettibone. One guy just showed me one of the knife fight on the back of Politics of Time. Your girlfriend called me chicken, and the guys are going at each other with the knives. This guy's got a
chest piece.
And it's done in like leprechaun green.
Oh, bad choice.
Speaking of Irish guys, after us in this Finnish gig we just did, the Stooges, was Thin Lizzy.
Who?
Phil Lynott died about a week and a half after D. Boone died. I can't imagine Thin Lizzy without Phil Lynott.
He was the man.
You could hear him. They kind of
you didn't see him play his hurt a little bit?
Didn't see him, no, because we had to get into busy. That jet to, well, get showered and then fly off. So we didn't get to see them play. But the guy kind of sounded, I don't know what they looked like. That was trippy. I know me and Georgie kind of did some duets with some Minutemen songs.
You guys,
but I can't see getting a...
No, Dank, he's irreplaceable. You guys weren't replacing anybody.
Yeah, but Lynott and Thin Lizzy, I thought, was pretty much... Oh, yeah, there's...
We played. Leech has played.
It says Leeches.
Yeah, we played it, you guys.
And they're hardball.
Yeah, right in
the third grade hardball. Teacher. Huh?
When was that?
It was when the...
May 21st.
Yeah, but it was when We Jammy Cano documentary. Me and Georgie did three or four of those. One was on the Queen Mary, two of them
the
were in
ATP,
England,
I think.
And one was there.
Mm-hmm.
So four of them. And it was kind of weird.
Couldn't even imagine.
I thought it was better than getting somebody to replace Stephen.
It was neat, though, hearing the people all fill in the D. Boone part.
You could almost, like, yeah, this...
That was great.
The voice. It would do his guitar parts with the voice, too. Yeah.
I thought it was neat.
Yeah, was
you're right, Matt.
There's some parts where we couldn't play drums or bass to it because it was totally D. Boone guitar. Sometimes I would strum on the strings like him, but... Some parts we just had to lay out, and the kids would do his parts.
That was cool.
So, yeah. That was neat. So, but lately, you've been playing with Killer Dreamer, Drink of Purgatory.
Yeah, the purgatory, not too much. They've been doing kind of the same, like, four-suit deal at their new house. They moved into, like, Fullerton, total, like, white suburbia. So we do these punk gigs there. Which is kind of neat. With Killer Dreamer, I guess we've been playing a lot, trying...
You guys went to Japan.
Yeah, that was last year. We were in Tokyo with Purgatory, and that was cool. And we did a four-way split on Small Pole Records with another Pedro band, Underground Railroad, Tokyo band, The No People, and
Jen.
Jen Fumi, and some Minneapolis guys off of their heads. But yeah, it seems like so distant. You know, it was like a year ago. We recorded about a year and a half ago. But I guess it's so relative. Thank Killer Dreamer, I just brought you the new LP. I'm going to give it to Tiff. I know you don't play records anymore.
And she something up with the turntable.
She has a record player. But yeah, Razor Cake's putting that out. It's a split release with our label, 45 RPM, Razor Cake Records.
Right. Because when I was at the Peck Manor on your birthday, I saw some recording stuff upstairs.
Yeah, we just got some kind of, I guess it's not old, 7980 Tascam 38 machine.
Yeah.
So we kind of just decided, basically it was like, okay, we'll spend money to go record somewhere. Well, shit, we have to get off work. It's going to cost, you know, we're going to lose money. So we can't quite do that, but if we take that money, keep on working, and record at home, the nighttime, then we could do the record ourselves, get it recorded, not have to leave Pedro. The second one we did, we went to Oakland to do it, which was a lot of fun. Or fun, whatever. But.
And downstairs, there's t-shirts.
Yeah, we have a little shop down there.
Did you get any action on the big old house rocking speakers? Remember all the speakers?
I have them in the room. I have two set up to the Mac, and then two set up to the turntable.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's kind of excessive, but it's cool. It's sort of a little bit Cadillac. But I enjoy it. It's better than the earbuds.
Better than the earbuds?
Because I don't really travel with the computer too much unless I go on tour with Mike. Then we do the diaries. But I'm not going to go anywhere else with the computer besides home. But yeah, so we did this third one right here. We did it at home. Just basically after work in about a week, whenever we could find the time together, we just do a song here, a song there, and got it going. And then we decided to mix it at home too. So bought the little machine.
Yeah.
Got the tape, mixed it, which we were just, I'm kind of proud of ourselves. I couldn't believe we did it. And then we put it out.
But no CD.
The record's going to come with a CD. It's only going to be 600 records, but they're all going to come with a CD. Because basically everyone's doing their music listening in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got to come with the CD.
And I want to play it on the show here, so.
I should have brought you one. But we just finished these covers today.
Hold on. My album, did that come with the CD?
I'll give you one, I promised. I just wanted to come with something, so I brought that.
Scott, who did the art?
Scott Eicher. He's a Pedro guy. He's close to you. He did some, like, Dose flyers, I remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Scott, and, like, yeah.
He used to work at Peanut Records in Lomita. Yeah. That's how I
He's
first met him.
He's got a pharaoh with the skull face and a crook.
Yeah, it's kind of like our Earth, Wind, Fire meets Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Journey Scarab.
Yeah, so that was his thing, a little bit Journey.
The wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
But we just wanted, if you look.
The pharaoh in the sky.
It goes, it's kind of a fold, but it's like, you know, our DIY fold. Let's see. He's traveling back and forth from the Egyptian pyramids.
Yeah. To the Latin ones.
Yeah, exactly. And he's flying the scarab.
And he is on the scarab.
Yeah, he is. Of course he is.
At least the legs are out.
No, he's there, yeah.
Make the total Journey scarab. I think all their album covers have got that thing. It's kind of a spaceship.
But
combo.
Hopefully the fourth one, we'll be actually pressing the vinyl there too. We'd like to be able to do it all ourselves.
Yeah.
Which I think would be the coolest thing.
Damn.
Then I could never leave home. I guess we have to play a show.
The smell will be happening. The
oh, shit, dude. Total toxic.
Vinyl.
And I don't want to live forever, so. All right. Yeah, we just have fun.
Any new projects?
As far as music goes?
Yeah.
Just working on this one. Just trying to get this third record out for us. And yeah, stuff. Yeah. We're doing, like I was telling you, end of October, I think, till the first week of November. We got tour coming up. Yeah, the Fest. Tour coming up with Japanther.
Brooklyn.
And then Brooklyn guys, we're going to fly to Brooklyn, drive with them to Texas, and then they go do some gigs in Mexico.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to take their van, drive it to Florida, basically that day, 24-hour drive, play the Fest. When their two gigs are over, they're going to fly back, meet us there, and then we tour with them in Underground, back up to New York, and then fly home.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wild adventure.
Yeah. Total adventure.
The winner.
Trying to. I just want to get it all in.
Make what sure. Pedro bands do you like right now?
I always like Toys That Kill. They're good. Todd's got Underground. So we're going to play those shows with them. That's going to be a lot of fun.
He was on a couple shows ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, it's kind of sad. Sometimes there's not enough bands. I want there to be more people who
I
are
think
down.
Right now it's going to a low.
There's just people need to pick up the slack.
Yeah, I mean, bands
because
right
you can
now.
You can do the shows and a lot of people show up, but they're just fans. There's no are they just I don't know what they're fans of. Maybe just hanging out, doing whatever. But I want the people to have the bands and to like kind of pick up the slack.
So some cool Pedro bands.
Oh no, yeah,
down at Royal Palms. There's bitchin' parties after hours down there. After they close the gate.
Generator shows
generator?
Down there?
Generator.
Yes.
Into the light pole.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just out of the loop.
They close the gate, and then it's all safe. You're safe once they close the gate. So if you get your car down there, you can leave. You just can't get in. You got to park at the top and walk.
Tumble.
That's already, but it's killer.
We just did a generator
take
show.
Take a quick way down the hill. Roll.
We did. Tumble. We just played Avril Park.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, generator. So that kind of stuff is fun.
Hombre come?
No, it was for the Rossler wedding. What's
right.
Adam and Sarah.
Adam and Sarah.
Yeah, they got married, wanted a band, so like, shit, we'll go do it.
Kara sent me a picture.
No, it wasn't. It was just kind of
Avril.
It was Avril. They have like the gazebo kind of thing there, but it was...
You're down in the bowl?
It dipped, and then the other side of the hill. So, I don't even know what street that would be.
It's cool.
Like right below Western.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought Ombre would be there for sure.
Yeah.
We did that. It was fun.
It's a bitchin' place.
It just reminded me of doing that kind of stuff being younger. It's like, okay, we'll just go play anywhere. And doing the generator stuff.
Yeah.
That's what leeches used to do. We used to do the laundry mats. They're like... So wherever we could, wherever there was plugs, we would play.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Raul.
Thanks for having.
2 weeks we play Warped Tour.
Tumble.
Brother Matt, thanks so much for Aiden and Ben, cool. Tiff, for moral support. And that's July 30, 2008 edition of the Watt from Pedro show. I go back on tour Friday, come back in 11 days, we'll do another show. Till then, keep your powder dry.